If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
My name is Keen and I am a professional choreographer.
And I'm James, and I'm worried about redundancy.
Who said that?
I know. I was like, I thought it was one of the funniest points of the entire episode, and then like it just was passed over. Michelle said it about Joey J and his wigs. And I was like, worried about redundancy. Like Merle Ginsburg should have.
This is Sissy That Pod, the RuPaul's Drag Race reaction podcast. We're back over in the US. It's time for the Pork Chop Queens to get their moment in the sun.
Exactly. They are fresh off the boat back from the Pork Chop Lounge. They are into the workroom and they have something to prove.
And I think they proved it. I think this is a more interesting bunch and I warmed them more.
Oh, yeah. 100%. But I felt like the performance overall, that song, the end project they produced, choreography was better than last week, lyrics are better than last week, performance are better than last week. I did think that they weren't as good look-wise, but overall, good, strong crowd. Exactly. And I think I cannot wait now to see how they get on next week.
Exactly.
When they are all like
mixed in,
mingled up.
Yeah, it's like when you are having a party and you bring two different friend groups in and you're like, how are they going to get on with each other?
Yeah.
Someone that the country has been warming to over the last several months is drag queen sensation Viola Gavis. She joined us on the show to spill the tea on episode 3. So let's have a listen. Well, Viola Gavis, thank you for coming back on the pod. Last time it was Canada, this time it's US. How are you liking it?
Yes, I'm now with the main girls, the main season.
Yeah, exactly.
I have made it. It's good to be back. Thank you for having me back.
How have you liked this sort of twist that started off the show, the splitting the queens?
Okay, when I first saw it, I wasn't sure. I was like, okay, well, how are they going to do this? Because in my head, like with, just like with everything now with Corona, like the Corona brand, I was like, okay, so are they just going to have them compete with two separate and then at the end just bring two from each forward and do the final four? That's my first thought that I had. But then I was kind of like, that's kind of shitty that they tease them and be like, there's other people competing against you. But I kind of do like that they've given us like 3 episodes of non-elimination. You've gotten to know the people a little bit more. And there's a good amount of catchphrases already. Like, my favorite one is the lady said go home.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
That is still my favorite one. I really enjoy, though, the twist that, like, they've done that. And it's given us a chance to see them in a much better way.
I think what's going to be interesting is, particularly with Rosé and Denali, who obviously are extremely competitive, is they're the sort of people who obviously are very in their heads and they're very competitive and they now feel like they're on the back foot. And I think even Tina Burner says it like at the very beginning of the episode before we get into the new queens, it's like they're already coming in like feeling like they're on the back foot because they lost that lip sync and ended up in this. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays in as we go through. I think some of them will really take that as like, I have something to prove and they're going to bring it. And I think we kind of saw some of that in this episode, that it was so like the performance was so strong.
I feel like with the likes of Tamisha, she's just there. She's, God bless her. I love her so much. She just needs to get out of her head and she needs to, like, you know. Because I've seen videos of her. I know she's older and she was sick for a while and she can't do many of the things. But, like, I feel like she was still going to kick some ass.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that she's making her age more of an issue than it needs to be in her own head. Because I think she has this notion, like, she's almost like...
Absolutely.
Some of the things are, and this is going to get, like, super, like, assessing her whole personality. But, like, it feels like in her head almost she's competing with a younger version of herself rather than any of the other queens. Like, she's looking at what she's giving to the competition and thinking, what would I be doing if I was here when I was in my prime, rather than just being like, take this moment.
Girl, I'm sorry. Like, your prime is whatever you make it. I don't believe in any of that. Because, like, when you look at, like, Raja, she was, like, the oldest on her season. And she's still going. She's still, you know, doing the damn thing. Like, Bianca was the oldest on her season. And she didn't let that stop her. So I think it's just having to get out of that mindset and just, you know.
Can't remember what kind of spilled into Untucked, what didn't. But a lot of them were kind of talking about how they were grateful they lost the first lip sync and how it really put a fire in them. And I genuinely believed it. Like, you know, like sometimes people are like, oh, I wanted to fail that first one for this reason. Like, I genuinely believed that they feel they have the edge on the other group because they've seen the end in sight and that's made them fight harder.
See, this is why it's like a very double-edged sword that, like, the winning queens are like, oh, yeah, this is great. But when they're going to fall, they're going to fall hard.
Is 5 hours not a ridiculous amount of time to be in your makeup?
Okay. For me, when I'm taking my time and everything, like before when I was doing the glitter beard, it would be like, you know, the makeup wasn't blended. It wasn't all that good. It took me like 45 minutes to an hour. And that is without blending my makeup properly.
Yeah.
You know, with the glitter beard and like from beginning to finish. Now, here's my issue. She has no eyebrows to block out. That is usually the thing that takes me the longest. It's like trying to block them out because you have to let that glue dry. You have to do a few coats, you know. That, she doesn't have that. It took her all that time to come out with a basic-ass brown eyeshadow and not even, like, a lot of glitter on the eyelid. I'm sorry. Like, I can't justify you having that amount of time and doing that. And I would have thought like her looks are going to be more intricate to have a lot more components to them. But 5 hours.
There was two things that I thought was funny. And I don't know if it was like shady editing or just like kind of happenstance. But you kind of were getting her in the background running around like, but then it kept like cutting to her and she was applying makeup with the tiniest brushes. Like the tiniest brushes. Like look, maybe if you used a proper fucking makeup brush.
I'm all for precision, but like my beauty blender is the size of half my face because you need to get that on as quick as you can. Like the things that usually take the most time are your eyes and the eyebrows, you know?
Do you know like pointillism where every like the painting is just loads of different dots? Is that how she does her makeup?
This is the thing though. Look at it this way. Both looks, she had the same makeup, but Utica had two different makeup looks on.
Yeah. Utica like turned the makeup entirely around so it fitted with each look. Whereas, like, and fair enough, the makeup looked really good and it worked with the outfits that she was wearing.
But like the time she said, and then I was like, okay, let me just go and look back. And she's like, 5 hours for some of the things that she's, and I'm like, okay, I understand being a perfectionist.
Yeah.
But like, there needs to be a little bit more.
Yeah. But you also need to perfect your timing.
Yeah.
Like you're going on Drag Race. You know, under time constraints.
Well, like, to be fair, what we saw today wasn't the 5 hours. That was the 1 hour, you know. But, like, it's going to be such a handicap to her going forward.
Yeah.
I feel like this is going to be a challenge for her as well. Because, like, that was only, like, a mini challenge. And, like, sometimes, like, a ball challenge. Let's say she makes it to a ball challenge and she has to do all of that.
Yeah, no, that's going to be... I wonder that as well because she's such a fashion queen and obviously it's very important. The look is very important to her and she has brought enough... And you heard her listing off designers that she's brought stuff by that when she comes to a point where she's having to make her own, is she going to be so like focused on needing something to be perfect that again, she's going to trip herself up? Because you even hear it, you hear them kind of mentioning it about her when they're doing the choreo on the main stage at that she gets so focused in on the tiny details and you can see that happening in the makeup as well that she can't step back and see the big picture. And I know plenty of people like that.
Like I will say this, it does happen, especially when you're getting ready. Like this is like when you're getting ready to get into drag, sometimes one thing will set you off and then you just be like, I don't like this. But then you're just gonna have to, you know, suck it up if you're on a time constraint, because it has happened a few times with me when I'm like about to, like it happened with one of the QOCs. I did it and I was like, I don't like how I look at all. But I was like, I have 45 minutes between now and then. If I try to start again, I'm going to end up going on with one eyebrow on and like powder still on my face. So it's just having to know how to like allocate your time. Because like, this is the thing that I'm like, I'm still hung up on her not having eyebrows and her needing that amount of time.
Do you think that was production trickery, or do you think they actually were waiting for her out on the main stage?
I'd say so. Because like when you look at it though,
waiting.
With that one video of her being alone in the workroom, they couldn't have told the other queens to get out and let her stand there. Then you would have thought something was suspicious.
I think it is both. I think the person who said that thing actually did say it in real life because it's true. But I don't think her with no top on running around the room was where she was at when that was announced. Do you know? Let's jump into the looks. So it was more or less the same theme as last week, but they've just called it Lady and the Vamp rather than Day and Night. So first out was then Denali. We'll chat about both her looks at the same time. I thought both of them were strong, but I preferred the lady look.
I preferred the lady look. There was something about, I am not like a big fashion person, but like I would have liked if her skirt wasn't as see-through, because then the main stage look was meant to be see-through, but her main stage look wasn't as see-through. Yes.
Yeah,
I kind of feel like maybe that vamp look would have been better for this runway rather than for this. The color was beautiful as well. I did like the blue and the
blue
the
and yellow are always gonna go together.
Yeah. And it was tied in the forget me not of Alaska. I thought was really nice. I didn't know that, so that was fun. So yeah, I liked that. Joey J. I don't know if I really loved these, even though I have to say, seeing Joey J without a wig, I just feel I totally get her more. I found her very hard to understand. I couldn't see her personality sort of when she came out in their opening look with the
wig
and stuff
like
that.
My personality in drag changes depending on what wig I'm wearing. It happens. Yeah. You know, sometimes you're wearing some really good hair and you're feeling yourself and you're like, don't talk to me. You know, that type of thing.
I thought the first one was very like mother pink is going to like her parents' teacher meeting and she's looking a bit glam for it.
Oh, yeah.
Very mumsy.
I thought it was Brigitte Nielsen in Celebrity Big Brother.
The nighttime one was pink in the 2000s on the VMA red carpet.
Yeah, pink in the Charlie's Angels 2 music video for Feel Good Times. That was what it was.
Like, I totally saw, but I will say this. I'm all for people sticking to who they are. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I would like to see a gown. I'm not asking her to put on a wig. I would just love to see her with that hair and a big gown. I think would be great.
Yeah, I think when Ross kind of pointed it out, because all the silhouettes were the same. Like, okay. And I did think that like the thing she was, I thought it was very funny when Nicole Byer on the runway was like, oh, I want to hang that in a door. I was like, that is kind of, you know, real fun with the fringe. But like a lot of the silhouettes were the same, and it would be fun to see her in other stuff. I don't necessarily think that the wig
walked into the workroom without a wig on. And just took from the get-go. And then, for one of her looks, had hair.
Yeah.
You know? Because then that would have kind of broken. That's what I feel like it would have done. But like,
no, I think you're right.
Yeah.
You know how Michelle is about, like, you know, you need to switch it up from time to time. Which I agree. If you're on a competition, don't just remain stagnant, you know?
Like, it is, I suppose, like, probably if she had just, for one of the two looks, put a wig on, then she wouldn't have gotten that critique necessarily. But at the same time, you want to stay true to what it is that you're doing, and you want to stay true to what it is that makes you feel most like yourself. And like, maybe
we've seen it in the past when they ask a queen to change up themselves, then that next critique is gonna be like, oh, we didn't really see you. And I'm like, you asked me to change who I am. What do you want from me?
Like, yeah, I know. I'm happy for her to never wear a wig again. Oh, absolutely. Because just the difference between her with the wig and her without is so noticeable. And I liked her so much more without the wig. So.
Yeah.
Talking about changing it up, someone who was Silhouette City was Rosé. She had a wonderful mini challenge. And if there was a winner, for me, it would have been her.
I loved her daytime. Her nighttime, I wasn't a big fan.
Oh, see, I loved the nighttime one, and I wasn't as big a fan of the daytime one.
I preferred the daytime, but I also liked the nighttime from the waist up, I didn't like the balls on the hips.
I wasn't a fan of the hair on the daytime. That's the one thing. If she had just had, you know, blonde hair or like just, you know, not like the yellow was just kind of like, because there was just already too much going on with the dress. You'd needed to just have the nighttime. I wasn't a fan of the hat.
I thought it was so cool. It just, well, it reminded me, I can't remember, was it Billy Porter had that hat that came over the eyes and then kind of like
the one
opened
that
out? I was like, it just was giving me reference to that, and I loved
See,
it.
See, though, I feel like that would have worked better on the main stage.
You know, yeah, I do think that on the main stage that would have looked really, really fun.
Because, like, actually, if you look at it this way, if she had used the look she used on the main stage as her daytime and then her daytime as her nighttime look, that would have worked. And then her nighttime on the runway.
Yeah. No, I think that, like, she probably could have brought it. Like, I think that the impact of that on the runway standing there, like, I mean, she did extremely well and she won. Yeah, it would have, like, in that lineup, she would have looked phenomenal. Because I did think she was...
Like Ross said, yeah, it looked a little out of place next to, like, the yes, other people. So if she had worn her nighttime look there, it wouldn't have. But I, I'm not saying I don't, it's not a fabulous garment. It is fantastic, well made. I just thought it would have fit the main stage better.
Yes, I have to say, like, overall, I know we're going to go through the rest of them, but I think overall, the looks this week were weaker than the looks last week. But then I think this week that the performance was considerably better than the performance last week. So I think in terms of...
And I also feel like they gave more to it because they thought, like, you know, they had more to lose than anybody else. Yeah.
And because as we're going through it, it's like none of these looks, and they're all good, but none of these looks were like, oh my God, amazing. Where there was one or two last week.
Oh, I don't know. I think the two ones from Rosé, and I loved Utica's daytime look. Those three to me were...
See, really I sick. Literally have written Crystal did it better on the nose beside.
I am not a fan of people comparing because I remember I walked into a gig once and somebody called me Bob the Drag Queen. I was like, I wish I had that back again, you know? But like, I'm not all for comparing, but like in my head, that's all, I saw kind of like a recreation of that. But like, then again, Cookie Queens and all that, you're going to bound to like subconsciously compare them in your head. You may not be
I genuinely think the comparison ends with the fact that they used plastic balls. Like, the characters are totally different. The one that Crystal get.
I don't know. Because I think that it's like, to make an outfit that's featuring kind of like plastic ball pool balls, and it's like around the hem and up around the shoulders and in the hair. Like, when you're like, that's a very similar, like, that's like, that's an identical sort of thing to what Crystal did. But no, I thought I loved Utica. I absolutely adored her nighttime look. I thought it was brilliant. Queen of Hearts, Alice in Wonderland. Yeah.
I enjoyed, like, when she stuck her leg out and the cage was on the leg. I thought that was great.
No, I thought that she did, like, that was for me. That and her performance look, I thought, like, just really showed me, like, sort of a glow up. Was it not glow up? It is glow up, that wrestler chat, that wrestler show on Netflix. Like, very kind of
ladies
like that.
What is it, glow? Something. Glamorous Ladies of Wrestling. Yeah.
We skipped over Tamisha, though.
You know what?
Harry J. Blige.
I am here for her doing that, like, matronly look for her first one. She just looked like a Southern lady going on her way to church.
I think the pink look was fabulous.
So cute.
Like, just, you know, kind of like, I own 51% of this company, Powerbit.
But it was also very, like, in touch with her entrance look, like the color scheme, and I loved that. And she just went and she flipped it over with the hairdress. You know what? I want to know how none of that hair got tangled.
The only thing I would say about Tamisha, and I think this is more of a limitation in me than her, is that I've, with her daytime or her lady look and even her runway look, it is, she shows her age. I feel like she's dressing for her age, you know? And I kind of just feel it's a bit, especially the fuchsia look was a bit nana-y.
It was,
It was definitely
older.
That's
a nana drag queen. And I was like, I need to be able to, you know, get over the fact that I don't really just see 20-year-old twinks on Drag Race. I need to be able to appreciate
but
the older lady too.
But this is the thing, though, when you think of it this way, it's just having to get out of that mindset saying this is an older queen. Because there's queens who are younger and they dress older. Trust and believe.
I do think Kimora just did not get any personality across in either of those mini challenge looks. Also, when we were talking earlier on as well about Kimora being late and whether it was real or not, the order of the first looks...
Yeah, and then
was
the,
like,
second one changed. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Kimora was second last, whereas the first one she was actually last.
And then
so
Utica was last, wasn't she?
Yeah, so I presume Utica was supposed to be last all the time because that would have made sense alphabetically, I think. No, because Kimora, whatever. But I think the fact that Kimora was last the first time shows that she actually really was late.
But while we've kind of been talking a little bit about Tamisha there, it's revealed in the workroom that she is 49 years
of
age.
Girl, she is... Ooh. Black don't crack. Hello.
I know.
Melanin level, let's go. She looks fantastic.
I couldn't, like, I knew she was definitely an older queen, but I had like literally.
I'm sorry, she looks younger
15.
Than Rosé. She looks younger than Rosé. Like, she looks younger than them. Like.
As a drag queen, she's dressed like she's in her 50s. But as a boy, she's dressed like she's still in her 20s. Like, it's so funny.
I'm sorry, she's dressed like a teenager. Like, that hat and the t-shirts. Yeah. Like,
I loved with her throughout this entire episode. Because, so, I felt that when she came in for the first, like, the first episode where she was doing her lip sync, that she felt overwhelmed and she felt like she was kind of a bit, like, you know, not really sure of herself. This entire episode, she just comes across as so mature and like she understands, yeah, so sweet and understands the game and understands what's important and like really obviously cares an awful lot about like her drag children, her actual children. Do like she came across, she is someone who I'm now very excited to see more from, where before
how
I was a bit like,
I feel like it's gonna work with her competing against her drag daughter.
I know, and I mean I was thinking that she must know Lalaurie is there because the other queens know, like surely all the queens in the Porsche bound is like to. who are you competing against.
Yeah.
So I think, and there is, even if you watch Untucked, when Tamisha says that in the performance she didn't want to stand out when it wasn't her time, she wanted to wait. So I think she is this really sort of nurturing, putting everyone before her, Asia O'Hara helping everyone else in the workroom.
That's literally like Asia O'Hara in that ball challenge when she helped everybody with her looks and then left hers to the last. Yeah. Like, that is, I mean, that is such a lovely, lovely quality to have. It's wonderful. You know, you tell you're a fantastic human being, but girl, it's a competition.
Yeah.
Throw some marbles on that floor.
And that's what Denali says. Denali was like, oh, that's so nice. I'm the one being like, can I make this moment mine all the time? So look, I suppose at the end of the day, a competition is a competition. Drag Race will be over. You have to stick to your own integrity. And she strikes me as somebody who would rather lose than that backstab someone, you know? So
yeah.
Did you know that Denali was a professional choreographer? Because if you didn't, you certainly were told in this episode. Yeah. I think it really showed how much the girls respect Tamisha when they were all sort of yapping about, we should do this, you should do this. And then Tamisha was like, I'm going to take over here. And she just commanded the room and she told them where to go and told them where to go. But that was, I actually found that a really sort of interesting scene. And I think Tamisha was the queen of the talking head at that moment too.
It is interesting though to see how like quickly she's obviously established herself as like mother hen, mm-hmm. because like there was no questioning her, and it's like it kind of in a way that role suits that woman who would wear that pink outfit. Like she walks into the room, she's soft and she'll give you a hug, but she's also got the back of her hand if you need.
Oh,
it.
Oh, look, like not the way she was able hand, to be she like, always has something. This her Harry. Smack you real quick.
Exactly. So she's able to kind of say like she sat in the background and she's like, let these young kids at it, and then she's like, this is going fucking nowhere, and she just stepped
but
in
you
and
was
like,
tell,
like let's do this,
she
this,
stood,
this and this.
Stood there and she was watching. You could literally tell with all the shots that were coming, and even the way she was talking to Kimora and being like, stop, focus on this, or like when she was telling her when they were getting ready for the main stage and she was like, remember to breathe.
But also when she was like, remember, we're not all dancers here. You need to explain what these things are to people. So, yeah, definitely a real sort of grasp and empathy and, you know, emotional intelligence that some of the other queens lack.
She set herself up very much as the queen of breaking the fourth wall with those reaction looks to camera during that whole. I loved that like weird kind of like Joey J versus Denali versus Rosé kind of like, I'm a dancer. I'm a professional choreography. I teach ballroom. I was just like, this is excellent.
I am a firm believer that you should not hype up your skills too much because something will always go wrong.
No.
Something will always go wrong. With Drag Race, they'll throw a spanner in the works.
I love how Tamisha said of those girls, sometimes your confidence exceeds your abilities. And I was like, that is like one of the most cutting reads we've ever had. Because it was said with like, it was said with such a genuine heart of like, oh, I care about them and I want them to do well. But sometimes your confidence exceeds your abilities.
Yeah, you kind of walk away and then you're like, oh.
Can we talk, because when they're getting ready for the main stage, Kimora is talking about her boyfriend. And it sounds like she's in like a borderline, like emotionally abusive relationship. Like, are they still together? That's what I want to know. Like, she has to like rent this space on the other side of town, and she can't mention she does drag, and she can only do drag once, like once every kind of couple of months in order to keep the boyfriend. And I'm like, you should not be, you're in danger, girl.
But like, for me, like, I kind of did see a little bit too. Like, when I first started, I didn't say it to like my mom or anything. But then it's just that whole thing where like, I didn't rent out a space. I just put stuff away and I just folded it and I left it as is. But if time came, like literally, there's literally just a wig just chilling right there. You know, like, Yeah. It's just over time. But like, that's the thing when I'm like 8 years.
But I suppose you can choose your parents. You know, there's different generations there and different backgrounds. You can choose your partner. And, you know, obviously, if you are in an emotionally relationship, that's a whole different thing.
But like, that's the thing. You shouldn't hide something you love to do so much. Because like, it genuinely looks like it brings her so much joy. I will say this. So far, these two episodes, I've seen the two of the most cleanest splits I've ever seen on Drag Race. Elliot's one last week and Denali's one this week.
Yeah. Very good. Very
And also, Rosé managed to do a death drop that was not messy as in the first episode.
Yeah.
And also, we saw Tandy Aman do a killer death drop splits multiple times. Oh, as well.
Yeah. Out from the ceiling. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
One day I will do that. One day.
Hey, as you guys know, Sissy That Pod is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network, Ireland's biggest podcast network, which has tons of podcasts for you depending on what your podcast persuasion is, whether it's true crime, whether you want a bit of Irish, just a Shoot the Breeze podcast, you want to know about musical pop culture, we're fascinated with Garrod Farrelly, you want to hear Alison Spittle talk to really, really interesting people, you want to know about Wikipedia, you want to know about words, you want to know about food, it's all up there on the Headstuff Podcast Network. Since the new year, they have launched their new premium service, Headstuff Plus, which allows you, the listener, the opportunity to support some of these podcasts on a one-to-one basis. If you want to support the work James and I do to put together this podcast, you can head over to headstuffpodcasts.com and support the show for the price of a pint a month. So that's €5 a month. You will get in exchange the bonus content that we've been preparing for you, which is episodes, weekly episodes covering Drag Race Vegas Review. That was a sort of Drag Race meets Housewives show that was out last year. But not only that, you'll get all the extra bonus content available on all the podcasts on the networks. If that sounds good, headstuffpodcast.com is where to go. Even just listening to the podcast there and rummaging around, and just go on to the log on, see what other podcasts are there. Maybe you'll find something new that will keep you occupied in this lockdown. But of course, don't feel pressured to support the show. We are here for your entertainment. We understand in the lockdown that a lot of people are not in the financial windfall that they were before. So that's totally okay. But if you are interested, it's headstuffpodcast.com. Okie doke, let's get back to the show.
I have to say that this performance of Phenomenal is one of the best I've seen. Like, it was, the lyrics were all really fun. Each of them brought, like, the choreography was really tight and, like, obviously, like, really well thought out. And, like, oftentimes what you see them doing on the main stage in the run-through doesn't seem to make the cut. Like, they simplify it back down into, like, just much more kind of walking in a line up to the front of the stage turning around. It was more complicated. It looked really good. I really enjoyed it. I'll actually listen to that song again. I won't listen to last week's one again.
Absolutely. All six verses in Phenomenal were better than even the best one in Congratulations. Now, I wouldn't say all the performances were better. Do you remember in Congratulations last week, they all came out with like exercise balls and then they all floated up into the air and disappeared. And then in this week, they all had flags and then it cut to them just standing there in exactly the same position, just without the flags. I was very confused.
They just cut off like a few, or maybe they just... Yeah, they cut off a bit. Like,
let's do it again, but with flags.
Yeah.
Let's jump then to the runway, and we can add in our comments about the performances and stuff as well here. So the runway was sheer. Denali came out and called her look lavender, but to me it just looked white.
That looked
those lights were reflecting.
Mm. But yeah, it wasn't sheer to me. Or maybe I just don't know my fabrics, but I couldn't see through a single one of those pieces, you know?
Yeah, I wonder now, because I do think that like fabric shows up different on TV. And I say this as a fashion expert from watching Project Runway, like three seasons of it. But because from Drag Race UK the other night, there was one of the queens wore the Lancashire Rose dress, which came across as quite dark and looked sort of almost burgundy or wine. But then on their Instagram, it's like a beautiful rose red. So I think that maybe in person this looked better, but for me it wasn't. I wasn't living.
But the thing is, because the thing with really light fabric sometimes, and especially if they're sheer, they reflect light. And on, if you're like on a stage, you're being lit from all directions.
Yeah.
I would say it's just like what we saw on TV. It didn't read as sheer to me. But I will say this, she looked fantastic. And the way she had the black accessory and the black shoes,
Yeah, gorge. No, I her face always looks beautiful. Like, I think she has, she's a stunning queen.
She's a ponytail girl.
I wish she had worn her vamp look for this runway. I think that would have been very strong. And there's a lot of them, I think. Girl.
Yeah, Joey then as well. Like, it was a similar silhouette, but it was a better look, I think, than her vamp look.
Joey's body, it is padded, and she has a fantastic body in drag, like, gorge, fantastic, glorious. Didn't like the headband.
Yeah, actually, I agree.
Yeah, there was something about... There was something about the headband. I kind of made this joke already, but like it almost like all of the looks look like sort of like characters you might pick in like Tekken or something.
Honestly,
like there's sort of like that vibe off it.
And then Tamisha looking like she's coming off the Real Housewives.
Yes. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I didn't like. I think that the headband looked like a bit of like a like it just looked like a piece of fabric.
See,
you know?
If it had a bit of the fringe on it, it would have worked. But yeah, it just looked...
Or even, like, rhinestones.
Yeah, it looked really out of place for me. Like, genuine. Like, look at me. Yeah. Like, that outfit probably cost a lot more than any of all my drag outfits combined. But, like, it just didn't look... It wasn't my favorite.
I don't know. The judges loved this. I just didn't think Kimora's Dolly Parton wig matched her dress.
No. The wig was so out of place. If she had the hair she had in the performance with that... Or
The J-Lo hair would have been much nicer, but I just thought the Dolly Parton hair with the Cher bodice.
She looks very, she's very that era, Valley of the Dolls kind of caftan, sort of bejeweled flying squirrel. The wigs, I love an enormous wig, but I did feel that the roots on it were very, like, it was very distracting. In a different outfit, I think that could have looked...
It was just reminding me of our conversation with Lily Savage we had.
Yes.
I was like, now there's some damn roots. No, I actually loved the wig, and I look at him like, how does she keep it on her head? I just didn't think it worked. Yeah. I really thought Rosé's look looked a bit junk couture for me.
It looked like plastic bags. I know it's awful to say, but it did.
And I know Ross was avoiding using the crafty word because he got red for it, but I do think it looked like something that had been made there for a challenge rather than something that had been brought home.
Her performance look was great. That was
It was like just a pink bodysuit that looked like it had been kind of embroidered.
Pink. Oh, yes. Loved.
It just was like, what a waste to use that. That was such a glorious look, and then this is what we get for the moment.
I think you just need to read how you've done in the challenge, and if you think, right, I'm on the chopping block, then you need to pull the best thing you have and figure out a way it fits the theme.
Like Jasmine Masters.
Exactly. Jasmine Masters, like, most amazing dress in the entire world, has now been surpassed by this Tamisha Iman gown. I mean, was it ever self-professed gown?
I mean, I liked this. I didn't love it as much as the judges. Maybe it looks better in person.
I loved it.
I thought she looked gorgeous. I really enjoyed it. I thought you were right about it had a similar sign to the. It had a similar look to the Olivia Lux dress, but it was just like
even down to like that bow that was here.
Mm.
Fantastic, but like that red, so that was the most one thing that red sheared to me out of everybody.
Yeah. No, it was beautiful the way you could see like the hint of the skin through it. Oh, I thought it was,
but
gorgeous.
Also that worked very well with her skin tone and her hair,
it was
and
gorgeous
everything.
Her
it
skin
was
tone. Yeah.
Fantastic. That's when you know somebody just knows their body really well, and they're like,
exactly, yeah. And the fact she made it herself. Like, made it herself. Like, that is unreal.
I told myself I was going to teach myself how to sew in lockdown.
Finally, then, Utica was up there. And I liked the idea. I didn't really get sheer from it. I didn't think it was amazing. I loved the face. And I just love her characterization.
The face and the hair. Gorge. Yeah. I also did love, though, that, like, the fact that, like, the majority of the garment was black. And she had, like, the different colors.
Yeah.
And then those colors were in her makeup.
Yeah.
I thought that was fantastic. You can tell she pays attention to her detail. And I love a queen who's not afraid to wear makeup. I'm a firm believer. When you say you're going to put on makeup, put on makeup.
Put it on. Yeah.
Okay? Because I've done a subtle eye and... No. Not for me.
I loved the makeup. I loved the look. Her personality is... I think my favorite thing on this look for her was her hair.
That,
the
hair
was massive, like, huge ponytail.
I just want to know how all of them managed to get these, like, inches of hair there without tangling them. Because, like... I have hair that's, like, to my shoulders, and it's, like, it's an experience.
I also loved her, like, I didn't understand what was going on with the whole, like, kind of BYO Jesus thing that she was talking about, but, like, go you being, like, a religious drag queen, you know, into it, into God.
She suffers from what I call verbal diarrhea. She just says whatever comes into her head, and she does, and that makes the best things on TV, because, like, you get, like, the best catchphrases and stuff, and she's just so kooky, and, like, my favorite thing, actually, at the beginning of this episode, when she was like, they're all so cute, and I'm the tallest one here, so I just get to look down on all of them. I was like, a mood. A mood.
Even then, like, it was like you played to your own tune, and she did this little sort of dum-dum-tsh with her fingers. Like, she just seems to be a real sort of live wire. So Rosé and Denali are the winners of the challenge. I think that's fair. I think they were the clear two best performances, I would say. And they lip-synced to If You Seek Amy by Britney Spears. And another banging lip-sync.
They don't have a budget for music this year.
Serious? I thought that was a great choice. Like, that was like kind of like a, not like a deep cut, but it was like sort of, it's such a fucking deadly song. But like, you wouldn't think to pick.
You can go in. You can go in with that song.
Well, I mean, I definitely think they have a budget for music because we had 6 lip syncs in the first episode. But
yeah. I think that's it. The budget is just like, you know, spread out a bit more.
But also, though, the fact that, like, they're doing these songs that are, like, kind of drag staples, like Lady Marmalade. I don't know why it took so long to get that song in Drag Race.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, I like If You Seek Amy. I think it is a good deep cut of Britney Spears. I just would like to see some more artists spread out rather than our 6th or 7th Britney Spears song. Like, we've still only had one Mariah, do you know?
I want a Beyonce. I want a song from Lemonade, but I know they can't afford her.
Yeah, Beyonce. We haven't had any Beyonce. We've had Destiny's Child. We haven't had Beyonce, I think. Well, I guess if we haven't had any, I guess they just haven't got permission from Beyonce to use it for whatever reason.
True. Yeah, I was about to say from her record label, but like Beyonce is her own record label at this stage. I also need to get a Jennifer Hudson track on that because I think that woman is just... Glamorous by Fergie. Or
oh, it'd be so good.
Yes.
Like, that's I just want more variety. I just think they've gone far too contemporary. I love when it used to be a mixture of like 70s.
Thing is, they either go really like older, like 70s, 80s, or like quite modern.
I like the ones when you're like, this is straight from Rue's record collection.
I need Proud Mary.
Oh, I mean, that would be iconic.
Anyway, Skip, jump back to the lip sync. Did you think Denali deserved to win?
Yeah, 100%. It was a really strong lip sync, but I think Denali.
I think she was just more precise with her movements and stuff like that, and she kind of had more sass.
I enjoyed both lip sync performances last week. I thought that Olivia went for like kind of similar to what happened this week. Both were. Someone gave like a very serious kind of like full-on performance and someone did a bit more of a comedy thing. I thought that the songs both suited the more serious performance, and then obviously poor Olivia's hair kind of came undone a little bit, and as we kind of know on Drag Race, there's no forgiveness for a little, you know, little
messes.
You
keep your hair on and you keep your shoes on.
Exactly. Keep your hair on.
You can take your clothes off, keep your hair and
exactly,
your shoes on.
Exactly, yeah. You take everything else off. That is fine. But those shoes and that hair is staying on.
Who is going to take the crown, do you think?
I have... Okay, I'll give you my... For now, the people I feel like are going to go the furthest. Mm-hmm. Utica, I feel like she has something underneath her belt and she's going to thrive with her kookiness.
Okay.
LaLaurie.
Okay.
Olivia and Simone. I feel like they'd be the ones that are going to be like the toughest competitors, or they're going to be the ones that are going to put most of them in their challenge. I feel like Rosé is going to get in her head and... She might get the Jan edit.
I actually find it tough to remember to call her Rosé and not Jan. Kimora Hall, I had in my top 4 at the Beat the Queens, and just after this episode,
I feel like
she's in her head.
If it was a lip sync for your life this week, she's gonna go.
Kimora Hall and Gottmik, I had both of them in my like kind of like gonna go super far top 4, and now their performances have underwhelmed me, and the confidence levels seem a bit.
Yeah, Gottmik has just kind of like left me. I need more.
Yeah, more confidence. Like, has it like the makeup, the looks, like brings it on the runway, but just like get that confidence into you and just fucking like push out.
Bring it.
Yeah. And that's advice for both Gottmik and that's advice for both Gottmik and Kimora could take,
because and Tamisha as well. Like, she needs to bring her confidence.
Of the three of those, Tamisha is the one who I actually think has it to give it and to do it. Like, I think that she has that performance and she's holding herself back in a way that she needs to stop. I think that Denali and Simone will be the two that I have my, if I'm picking one out of each group, they'd be the two that I've got my eyes on. Oh, and Simone. Tina Burner as well, a bit.
Thank you for joining us today. Where could people find you online? Do you have any sort of digital gigs coming up that people can watch?
You can follow me at Viola Gavis on Instagram, and there's going to be a few things coming up in the future that I'm working on. It is going to be exciting, and we've been working really, really hard on that. And yeah. So it's a collaboration with Dublin Fringe. So
very, very exciting. That's really cool.
That is
so same. Keep an eye out, keep an ear out, look at the stories, and then I'll be announcing the girls very soon.
Keep an eye out, keep an ear out, and get that credit card out. Hello. Ready to buy a ticket.
Hello.
It was like a better episode, but it was also worse than last week. It's kind of confusing. Like, I enjoyed the Queens more, but because it was exactly the same thing, I kind of liked it a bit less.
That wasn't a concern I had.
Okay.
Because even last year, I remember you saying this last year about the two big openings. So, like, because both episodes were kind of similar in format, you were a little bit like, right, okay, I know it's going to happen. I didn't mind that. I did think that as I was watching the runway, I was like, I'm a bit bored of this now because, like, there's so many looks and, like, I didn't think any of them, like, wowed me. But then the performance was so strong and I think the characters were so good that I think it stood out more. I feel more like the winner could be in this group than the other group.
Yeah, I think so too. And maybe it's just because it was like three looks in one episode last week, two looks in Drag Race UK, and now another three looks in this, that I was kind of like, you know, somebody give me a comedy challenge.
That's a lot of dresses. Yeah. That's a lot of dresses.
So, but next week it's improv, and that will really, that's going to be interesting to see who's going to do well. And hopefully Kimora can get out of her head and she can do well, because otherwise I think she's on that taxi home.
I would say that I am very excited for next weekend's Drag Race Bonanza because, as I said when we were talking the other night around Drag Race UK, and I'll say it again now, the looks are so heavy and so prominent in the first episode, and we've had three now of the US one where it's all been really about looks, and that's kind of what it is. And it's those performances challenges and improv challenges where you start to see the Queen's personalities coming through. And that's what I'm looking forward to. And next week we have that in UK and we have it on US. And I'm like, this is going to be
weekend. UK will be musical, which is better. The improv challenge normally is a bit of a dud, but I'm actually just happy.
I just like the sort of the, you know, you see more of the energy and them performing against each other, the shade backstage. I just think that's going
to be. Do you remember the world's worst last year with the American?
Oh God, that was so bad. You are absolutely correct. That was terrible. I'm a fierce Brock ally.
Anyway, thank you for listening. You can find us over on Instagram at @ToSeeThatPod. Also, if you want to check out all of our podcasts from the past and our bonus content, you can listen to that on headstuffpodcast.com. The bonus content is only for premium subscribers. So if you'd like to support the show in any way that you'd like,
price of a pint will buy you a month of unbeatable content.
Yeah. Not just from us, from every other podcast on the network. So that's like everything you want. Movies, the Irish language, all that stuff is up there. So you get loads of stuff. We are now multilingual. But of course, if you don't want, you know, if you aren't in the position to support us, that's perfectly fine as well. You're still welcome along. It's our job to entertain you. We'll be back with you next Friday for UK episode 2. Have a nice week. See you. Love you. Bye.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Headstuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com. If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.